to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Blacks in Business Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. Peace, greetings, Bibi Fahodier. I'm your host this evening, Erica Foxy Mama Parker-Smith. I'd like to give a huge shout out to the regular hosts with the most, Brother Robert and Sister Cece. Thank you all for allowing me this platform to connect with the people and hopefully offer some inspiration, motivation, and information. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, please call in toll free at 1-866-510-9025 or 704-802-5056. To enter questions or comments in the queue, just hit ** and watch your background noise. We are live from 5 p.m. PST, 7 p.m. CST, and 8 Eastern on the Black Talk Radio Network. So tonight, we're going to be discussing entrepreneurship and the millennial mind. And let me bring in our guest. Let me unmute her really quickly. Hello there, Alex. Can you hear me?
Hey.
So let me introduce you. Okay, so this is Alexis Alex Roberts, and she is a creative and passionate, inspiring young publicist from Somerville, South Carolina. She's currently studying mass communications at South Carolina State University, and she's the owner of her very own public relations and marketing firm, Alex & Co. Agency, Affiliated Chicks Incorporated Marketing, and I Am Freshy Brand. She's going to tell us all about those. She's also done work for New York Fashion Week, Social Sparkling Wine, Offset, y'all know from the Migos, Ciroc Houston, and many, many more. Alex & Co. Agency works with fashion, beauty, and lifestyle brands to strategically increase brand awareness for her clients. And when she's not working, you can find her giving back to the community. And she says she is also a proud member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc. I cannot talk this evening. But anyway, you can catch Alex on Twitter at Alex & Co. Agency or on Instagram at the same handle. How are you this evening, Alex?
I am doing amazing. I'm finally away from work. Nice little vacation in Miami, so I feel good right now. All of my hard work is paying off, but I feel really good. Just wrapped up a bunch of stuff in Houston. a day ago. So now it's like I finally get a chance of leisure.
Yeah. So what took you to Houston before we get started?
Well, what took me to Houston is that I'm going to move there in December. And also with me working, well, with me being affiliated with the Chicks Inc. brand, and I Am Freshie, who's the publicist of Cardi B, Justin Combs, who is Diddy's son. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the Instagram comedians, but he's also the publicist for Lala and Quay, also known as TT.
Okay.
Helping him get everything right for Ciroc Houston as well. I was working the entire time I was in Houston for those 4 days. I was working. I was put to work.
Yeah. So I want to actually talk about that. So let's back up a little bit. Because the guests that we have on the show are all entrepreneurs. Most of them have been women, with the exception of one guest thus far. But you are the first young person that we have had right now. So I want to talk about that, because tonight's topic is basically entrepreneurship and the millennial mind. So you started your agency, how old were you when you branched off on your own?
I started my PR agency at 19.
At 19. And what led you to that? So give people a little background. Walk us through how you became an entrepreneur, especially at 19, when it's like most people, it's like, how together are they? And I always say, for you all's generation, because y'all are in the information age, like, y'all should be setting the world on fire. Like, there is no excuse. And I kind of think about, like, us Gen Xers and, like, the generation after us. If we had the internet the way that you all have the internet, the world would be a different place today.
Well, what sparked it was I was always into writing. I was the editor-in-chief of my college newspaper since I was 17 years old when I first stepped in.
Okay.
So I was interested in public relations, and there was this girl who I was also writing for. She had a magazine based in Charleston. I was a writer for that. And she wanted to start a PR sector of her company. And in my mind, I'm like, you want me to help build this brand? But it's like, I'm business-minded at 19. I feel like I can do this on my own. So I had to separate myself from that. And I basically just created my own lane. And it's a domino effect. And it still blows my mind to this day of how everything just flowed just like that. Crazy.
So when you started, like, what has the journey been like? Like, have you learned a lot? Like, what challenges have you encountered? What things have you overcome to, because I mean, because at this point you can like you are dropping some big names. So to go from so you started it when you're 19. So please tell the listening audience how old you are right now.
I am currently 21 years old.
So you started this at 19 and you are 21 and you have gone from working with other people to starting your own business, and now you are like absolutely just, like I said, you are like on fire right now. So how did that walk go?
I didn't start branding myself until I was 20. So when I was 19, I had the company name, I had it registered, but I didn't do anything with it. I did not start PR at all until I was 20 years old. So I didn't start until last year
doing PR.
Yes.
So tell us then about that transition. So how has that been? Because to go from, you had your business name registered, so we'll check that off. You got out there, you started working, because this is also something that, you know, that I've said repeatedly for anybody that listens to the Third Thursday shows, is that I always tell people the best way to learn how to be a business person is to go be one. Like, get out there and start doing your business. So let's talk about that. So you started your PR firm last year. And then now here we are with you moving from South Carolina to Houston, and you have a pretty awesome client roster.
It was definitely a challenge simply because of my age. Even when mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, I tried to, you know, maneuver around the system, but somehow people would always find out, oh, she's still in college. Oh, she's still under 21. So, you know, she can't mm-hmm. do this. She can't do that. And then on top of that, with me being a black woman in business and being mm-hmm. young, you know, that's a lot of odds put against me. So I had to put on my big girl shoes, and I said, you know what? Even though I am being outcasted, I'm still going to do what I'm passionate about. And I didn't believe in any excuses, and I just kept going.
So, okay, so then tell us, how was that? What kind of things would happen when people found out your age? Like, did they not think that, like, you had the experience? Or, you know, what kind of challenges did that present for you?
The main challenge was a lot of people felt as though I couldn't be taken serious. And on top of mm-hmm. that, they believed that I should focus on school. And I always hated that, because it's like, why can't I do both? Why can't I be a college student and seeking my career both at the same time? Mm-hmm. Why is that such, you know, why is that so uncommon? So it bothered me at first. And me being in business, when I first started, I was mm-hmm. very sensitive. So me being a business owner definitely taught me how to have tougher skin. It taught me how to be more disciplined. And it taught me to be more outspoken, because I never used mm-hmm. to really speak my mind. I would always let other people, you know, I'd let other people run the show. But it's like, no, I have.
But it's your show to run.
Yes, I have something to say. It needs to go this way. Right. And usually whenever I say something, it works.
So how has that shift now in that? Like, you just owning it. Like, you know what? Yes, I am 21, but this is my passion. Like, this is my thing. Like, I'm owning this, and I'm walking in, you know, I'm going to walk this path. I'm going to walk this walk, and I'm going to do this whether I'm 21 or not. Do you know what I mean? So how has that shift
yes.
helped, like, propel you to where you are now?
The shift, oh my goodness. Whenever I feel down, because a lot of times, I'll mm-hmm. be honest, it takes a lot of strength to keep going. And I just think about all the people who look up to me. I think about my clients. I think of the end goal as well of where I want to be. And that just pushes me mm-hmm. to an entire level. And with everything, with my career being on fire right now, it truly makes me feel good, because a lot of sacrifice in the seat that I am in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people so just think I just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. So does that mean that, you know, because being that you are in college, does that mean that you did not go to those parties? You missed those spring break trips? You did not do a lot of the things that other college students were doing because you were working on your
yes.
business?
Absolutely. I missed out on college parties.
Yeah. Oh, I think we're kind of losing you a little bit, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, so yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Okay, good. Yes, so the main sacrifice was definitely my social life, because I was mm-hmm. so invested. Whenever I go to class, I would go straight to my dorm room to work on my classwork, and then strictly my business for the rest of the night until the early morning, sleep for about 2 to 3 hours, wake up, and do it all over again.
Mm-hmm. So what skill sets, so okay, so like, you know, because we have, like, now we're in this conversation where they're telling, you know, we're learning that, like, there's all these skilled jobs that people need certain skill sets for, that going to college won't necessarily prepare our youth these days for the workforce. So how has you going to college, like, given you, like, what skills and knowledge have you picked up that are going to help propel you for what you do as a publicist?
Honestly, nothing. Because with the school that I went to, public relations mm-hmm. is not a major. My major is journalism,
okay.
and I only did that to improve my writing skills.
Okay.
That,
has that helped?
That I know, writing wise, yes, but when you look at the work of a journalist and the work of a publicist, the writing style, they're not the same. So
right.
Everything that I know is self-taught. I had to go the extra mile to network with the people that I know now. It took a lot of logic. It wasn't more so book knowledge.
Okay. So did you read any books though? Like maybe books that weren't part of your curriculum, like you said, because journalistic writing is completely different from writing marketing materials, from writing branding materials, and knowing how to, you know, create that brand voice and, you know, how to really like sell without selling, you know, but being very strategic and very intentional with everything that you're putting out.
Honestly,
so was there any resources or people?
At my college, there was one professor, and he was in the business department, and he helped me with the business side of my business, like the LLC part, the taxes, you know, all the government stuff involved with, you know, running a business. Because I didn't know anything about that. I'm the first person in my family to own something of their own, so I had no experience. I have anybody to look up to. So he taught me the ropes of how to, you know, get things done professionally and how to, you know, be a professional.
Wow.
Definitely.
So
and I also took two marketing courses at my college, and those two courses helped me with marketing, but journalism hasn't really done much for me. No.
Really? So then how do you feel? Because, like, do you have, like, student loans and all that kind of, you know, craziness going on, too?
If you want me to be honest, I will say I feel as though I wasted 4 years of my life going to school. Because it's so crazy. How am I doing all of this stuff? And I graduate in December. I have yet to receive my degree. It won't be in my hands until December. And it's like, I did all of this stuff without a degree. And when I get out of school, I still won't need my degree because I'll still be going, you know, I'll still be going very hard with my own business. So I never, I don't really need the degree.
So do you feel it'll help you still? Like just to be able to put on, like, you know, your resume on your CV that you still have this degree though. And it's not like you went to like unheard of university. Like you are at South Carolina State. So, I mean, which people are familiar with.
Yes, that is true. That is very true. And also, I'm thankful because me being a finer woman of Zeta Phi Beta sorority has shaped me into becoming a better woman. I can honestly say that. So I'm very appreciative of that experience.
Now, how do you feel like that experience has shaped your entrepreneurial endeavors?
Those women also taught me, because they're women, instead of, you know, my professor who's a male to teach me how to be professional, they've taught me how to move in a room full of men. How you should present yourself, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. You should speak up while you are in these business meetings with men, because working with men and being in a business meeting with men, you know, who are dominating the industry, it's a whole nother ball game, and you have to be ready for that. It's like a pack of wolves. You have to be ready for that.
Right. So, and you said you feel like just sorority has taught you how to navigate that world, because I mean, a lot of business is for a lot of women, and you know, women entrepreneurs, we do have to go in circles sometimes and be women. And like stand in that and own it and just don't feel like that's, I mean, because we know Black Girl Magic and we know all that we're capable of. So, and it is also about, like you said, having that strength and being able to, like, you know, shrug those things off and still go in there and get what you need to get and do what you need to do, you know, and win over those hearts and minds. And even if not the hearts and minds, you still need the wallets. So it's like, regardless of what you think, like, you know, it's like, I came here with the purpose. So that is amazing. So what advice would you give to other young people or just even people who may be listening and think, you know what, I can't do this. Or, you know, some people might feel like it's too, you know, I'm too old at this point to go and, like, you know, go after my dream, or I have this idea, where am I going to start? Or there might also be somebody listening who's a young person that thinks, you know what, yeah, I do need to focus on school. Let me just focus on school. I'll wait till I get out of school to start my business and all this kind of stuff. What would you say to them?
Do it. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. If there is something that you want and it sets your soul on fire to the point where you're so passionate about it, to the point where you can't sleep, do it. Don't think about what people are going to think. Don't think about finances, because I started my company with $0. I didn't have anything.
Tell me about that.
I was a broke college student. Yes. Like, okay. When I first started, I was honestly, because I was working for free, you know, trying to build my trust up with, you know, clients. So I was working for free. Mm-hmm. There was plenty nights when, you know, I didn't know whether I was going to eat or not. There was, you know, plenty of nights when I didn't sleep. A lot of sacrifices were made for me to be here. And I don't regret it at all, because it's almost as if I paid my dues, and I still am. Because it's still not easy. It just gets harder and harder. The more you climb the ladder.
So what part is difficult, do you feel like, right now? Like, you've made these strides. So it's like you started. So we got that part. Because sometimes that's the hardest part of the whole entrepreneurship journey. It's just starting. So now you've started and you've got momentum.
Leveling up every time. I am my biggest critic. Everybody, especially my mom, gets on me about this, but I'm big on leveling up. If there's something that I've done and I'm like, okay, this is nice, but how can I do it better next time? I touch a PR campaign, or I touch a press release, or anything that I touch, or that it's better than the last thing I did. Excellent. That's how my
mind.
So
do you ever? So I mean, no, but that's great, because as you know, business people and having that business, like, that is something that we always need to be cognizant of. Like, as good as something might be, there's always room for it to be better. So we have to be open to, you know, it's like we can't fall in love with our own press releases.
No, we can't.
So
even when somebody reads something that I write and they're not wowed by it, I'm like, oh, okay, let me rewrite this and let me send it back to you. Are you wowed? Like, you have the wow factor now? Like, when you read something to me, I want you to be like, oh my gosh. That's the reaction I want you to get.
Right. So do you feel in that? So do you have instances where people are not wowed about it? And what do you do about that? How do you address
that? When people are not wowed about it, I figure out what it is that needs to be tweaked, what needs to be changed. I go back to the drawing board, and I will rewrite a press release 6 times until that person is satisfied. Because I've done it before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do people appreciate that dedication and that level of customer service to ensure their satisfaction?
Yes, because I feel like that's why a lot of my clients stick with me, because I haven't been in the industry for like 10 plus years, like a lot of, you know, other women in PR who have done bigger things that I've done. So I really think that they see the passion and the vision that I have for their brand, and they appreciate that I have the same vision that they have for it. And my main job is simply getting the job done. That's it. That is it. Mm-hmm.
So you know what? Answer
that's
that.
All I care about.
Answer that for people. So, because oftentimes, you know, we hear these things as entrepreneurs and small business owners that we need PR and marketing and things such as those. And sometimes you can DIY, you know, your marketing and your PR. And then other times you need to pretty much tag in a professional. So tell me, what exactly are the benefits and goals of marketing and public relations as far as business?
Well, it depends on where you want your company to go. For example, I have clients right now who simply just want local press. I have clients right now who want to be on things like Sister Circle TV. And I also have clients who want to be featured on things like CNN. So it's like I have to figure out if your brand is up to par to be on those kind of stations. Tweak it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes a minute to tweak it. But once it is mm-hmm. tweaked and it's down to the T to where, you know, these big publications can accept it, then, you know, everything goes up from there, because through marketing and public relations, it increases your exposure, it increases your sales. So if you weren't getting mm-hmm. as many sales as you want to, and, you know, a lot of people, some who reached out to me are nearly going out of business, and I've helped them come out of that dark hole through simply doing PR and marketing.
Mm-hmm. So is it more, what was the question I was going to ask? So as far as the marketing, so are we saying all of this that you're talking about with the press, so is that being featured or having ads in various publications and across various media?
It's a mix of both, because if you mm-hmm. have a mix of PR and you have a mix of marketing, which is those ads, because public mm-hmm. relations, listen to me when I say public relations is free. You should never, ever, besides paying your publicist, your publicist should never pay for articles to be written. That is considered advertising.
Mm-hmm. So now, why do you say that people shouldn't pay for that?
Because public relations, a publicist connections are everything. Before you hire mm-hmm. a publicist, make sure those connections are right, and also make sure that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing to make those connections that go in line with your brand and your brand's vision.
So how do you verify, like, if you're, like you're saying, make sure that their connections are legit, how would we go about confirming that or seeing someone's work to know, you know what I mean, to be able to judge whether or not, okay, this is going to be a good fit for us, just like anybody else that we might, you know, hire to, you know, mm-hmm. or any other part of our business that we might outsource to someone. How do we gauge that?
Ask them for their portfolio. What have they done? Mm-hmm. You can also look and see who they are attached to, because a lot of publicists mm-hmm. are connected to other publicists. So when they're connected to mm-hmm. other publicists, 9 times out of 10, they are very well connected with each other. So also look at that other mm-hmm. publicist connections too, because 9 times out of 10, they're both sharing those connections with each other.
Okay. So what would you suggest to someone? What if someone says, okay, I'm just starting out and I do not have money to pay a publicist? What would you suggest that they do?
I would suggest,
like, how do you know when you're ready for one?
You will know when you're ready for a publicist when you've covered the groundwork, which is your branding. Is your logo mm-hmm. up to par? Is your social media where it is? Because I always say this, before you hire a publicist, hire a social media manager, because they will help you get mm-hmm. those followers and that engagement up. Definitely. Because journalists, whenever a publicist pitches to a journalist, they look at stuff like that, because numbers matter, because relevance is important, because they have to make sure whatever it is they're writing is relevant to their audience.
So then let's talk about that, because somebody could have 100,000 followers and mm-hmm. very minimal engagement, and somebody else could mm-hmm. have maybe 1,000 followers, but they have fantastic engagement amongst that core group of 1,000. Like, let's say maybe they have, you know, 200 to 300 mm-hmm. comments or feedback or likes or whatever on each of their posts. So do they, like, do okay. people get dazzled by having large following numbers?
No, because journalists and publicists can also see that followers are being bought, because if the following does not match up with the engagement, then it's null and void. So if you have a person who, or a business that has 1,000 followers, but the engagement is insane, they're going to dominate that company that has 100,000 followers, but nobody's engaging with whatever it is that they're trying to post.
Okay. So, and also when you say this, to get that engagement, don't people need to also post things that people want to engage with? And we can tackle that when we come back from the break. We're about to take a short media break. You understand that? And we'll be right back.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back. If you would like to get in on the conversation this evening, we are talking about entrepreneurship and the millennial mind. All right, so if you want to get in on the conversation, you can log in to blacktalkradionetwork.com. We are here every Thursday with the regular host, Brother Robert and Sister Cece, bringing you Blacks in Business Radio. You can call in at 1-866-510-9025, or you can call 704-802-5056. And just hit ** and watch your background noise. And we are back. Okay. So Brother Scotty is saying that clout scores on social media accounts, the way that they score them is based off of engagement and who your followers are. If your followers have high scores, then that boosts your score and your influence. So the key here is to make sure that you have the right followers and the right kinds of engagement. Because a lot of times people, you know, in a lot of Facebook groups will see different business groups or just, you know, different groups around different subjects. People will post up their Instagram handles or their, you know, their Facebook pages and ask you to like their page or follow them and all these things. But then the people that are, that they're getting to follow them are not their core audience. And this is true. We can't control who follows us on social media, but we can also court the right followers too. And the people who really are going to be fans of our brand and really, you know, go out and tell other people and tell their friends and other businesses and make those connections to have that organic growth on your social media. Yes, content is definitely king here with what you post. And so before the break, I did touch on that, and it looks like we might have lost Alex. So we'll just talk through this. But yeah, for sure, you have to post up content that really gets people engaged. And that does not mean, you know, always posting about your business or your services. It's also about adding value to people. It's about problem solving. And it's also, you know, various studies have shown that people do not like to be sold to. You know, people want to know that you have value, that you're solving a problem for them. And we can do those things through social media. So the Clout website and mobile app, it uses media analytics to rate users according to their online social media influence. And so it's a numerical value between 1 and 100. So if you want to know more about Clout, you can visit their website, and it is Clout spelled Clout.com, and you can check them out and learn more about a Clout score. See, always dropping gems. So when you tune in to Blacks in Business Radio. So we definitely want to inspire people and motivate you to either start your business or to continue starting. So yeah, that is where we are this evening. So let me pull up. I watched a short video from Gary Vaynerchuk. So some people know him. It's like one of those things. He is either you love him or you hate him. There's really no in between there. And like he said, people are afraid to fail because they fear what people are going to think. And, you know, just start moving in small steps. And also, you can really tell. It's like this generation, because they are in that information age, like I touched on earlier in the interview with Alex, you can really go out on the internet. There is so much information out there. And sometimes it gets a bit overwhelming because there is so much information, but you can literally learn anything from taking classes on, you know, Skillshare. There's lynda.com. You can learn how to navigate these social media platforms. You can learn how to use Twitter, Instagram. There's plenty of tutorials, people advertising, people put up free videos on YouTube. YouTube is actually a wealth of knowledge for learning these different things, learning the pros and cons of different social media platforms. And then you for yourself have to figure out where your people live. Where are they online? If you know that your audience is not on Facebook, then there's no need for you to be on Facebook. If you know that the people who are going to want your services or your products live on Instagram, then be on Instagram and learn that platform. But, you know, a lot of times we will go through and we'll feel like, you know, oh, we have a business, so we have to have, or we have to have a presence on all these various social media platforms. And we simply, that is not the case. You just have to figure out, you know, which are the most popular right now for your demographic, for your target audience, and then go there and insert yourself in the conversation. Have value to add and have valuable things to say, and not just be, you know, trying to gain followers or sell to people and constantly pushing your products. Shout out some other businesses. Who are some businesses that work along or kind of with what you offer that you can, you know, do some cross promotional things? You can do some advertising. You know, what are some other ways that you can really make that happen and build those connections so that they're organic, and then you don't have people that are not engaging with your content? So it's a lot, but it is definitely well worth it. And it is something that you can plan. And there are a lot of, you know, tools out there that you can automate it. Because a lot of people don't necessarily, you know, they get intimidated by marketing their business on social media. And sometimes to be successful, we have to, you know, mix a little old school with a little new school. So that means, you know, being on social media, but then still going out and making personal connections and doing those networking events and being, you know, in different places where your people are and finding them. So it is an awesome, awesome, you know, opportunity for growth. So we will definitely see if we can get Alex back on the line, because I know her connection where she was down in Miami, one of my favorite places, was a little spotty. So we'll see if we can get her back on the line. So while we wait on her to possibly come back, you know, what are some other ways that we can build our businesses and, you know, get that marketing and PR piece done? Because that really is about relationships. All business is about relationship. People do not buy things from businesses. They buy from people, unless, you know, you're a business like Walmart or Target. But for most of us, those personal connections are going to be the driver for our business.
So what, I have Erica. Yes. Yeah, we don't have her back yet. Sir. We'll see her on the board if she calls back or she picks up. But how much, what percentage of a company's budget should they devote towards marketing? Whether that is social media promotion, not just posting the social media, but, you know, paying to boost ads and put it in front mm-hmm. of more people, or whether you're running radio ads or television campaigns or billboards. I mean, there are just so many ways to market a business, but I'm just wondering, you know, what's a proper budget would be a question I would have to ask a marketing expert. You know, of course that depends on what your budget is, obviously, but is there a percentage?
Right.
You know, do you want to devote 10% of your budget to marketing, 20%, 30%?
Wow. You know, that is actually a really good question, because depending on who you ask, I know I had one company tell me that for us to see the kind of growth that we wanted to see, he tried to tell me that we were going to have to spend $2,500 a month in marketing. And that was boosting Facebook posts, that was Instagram, Pinterest, and like pretty much almost every online platform that you can think of to put together a marketing plan to have the reach that you need. Now, some people feel like it's a numbers game. And then other people, because I'm actually in the last week of a Brandon boot camp, and in there, she actually teaches you don't need to necessarily boost posts, you know, and things like that, that you can just actually make yourself useful and post really great content and be strategic about how you're placing that content without necessarily having to pay someone until you're in a position to really go out here and pay a publicist a fair amount of money to do those things for you, to maybe get your products in the hands of a celebrity. And actually locally here in North Carolina, there's a woman, oh my gosh, and I cannot think of what her product line is called, but she makes these necklaces with these acrylic charms on them. They paid a publicist several thousand dollars to, you know, do what publicists do. And as Alex was alluding to, those connections are everything. So they paid this woman out in California. One of these acrylic necklaces was worn by Katie Holmes. Someone snapped a photo of Katie Holmes in this necklace, gave them a shout out in a magazine, and that was all she wrote, and their business blew up almost overnight.
But that's kind of a chance encounter, though. I mean, did the publicist, like, have Katie Holmes as a client?
The publicist got the necklace to Katie Holmes.
Oh, okay, and she had her wear it. So the publicist had a little side business going on in addition to Katie Holmes as a client.
Yes. So somehow in a way she had that connection that she was able to get her this necklace, and Katie Holmes literally wore the necklace out in public and somebody snapped a photo. And that's all it took. You know, it was just that one, and then it got in the magazine. So not only did she get the necklace on Katie Holmes and somebody took a picture, but then it was also in a very popular magazine with this photo talking about Katie Holmes' outfit, you know, and referenced the necklace. So it's just like, you know, how do you get there and how do you leverage those relationships and that having that money? Because not everybody is sitting on $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to pay a publicist. So it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to crawl before we walk and we got to get there. But I think ignoring the marketing and the PR of your business and really knowing who your brand is, because I've learned so much in this Brandon bootcamp, and I can't wait to launch this new business in, you know, in June, having a solid foundation now and understanding how your brand is bigger than just your logo. Because a lot of people just think, oh, I'm doing branding because I have a color palette and a logo. And it's deeper than that. And it's a lot more work than that. You know, and it's like a logo is like step six instead of, you know, being something that you, instead of being something that you just start from the beginning. You know, just let me go pick out a logo, when it's like you don't even have your target demographic. You don't have your brand voice. You don't know who your ideal customer is. You know, and really know that person to be able to go and then speak to them in a way that makes your business and your services attractive to them, so that we're not just, you know, casting a wide net and hope that we catch a few fish, you know? So a lot of people, I think, will hope to sell to everyone. And I've said this too before, you know, if you're selling to everybody, you're selling to nobody. And it's okay to be niche. And that's counterintuitive to everything that we're told. You know, people feel like, you know, let me just go out here and market to as many people as I can in the hopes to get enough people to make a sustainable business, instead of narrowing the focus and marketing to the right group of people. And it's like, yes, when we get that solid branding and that solid brand voice, you're going to turn people off. But at the same token, you're going to turn the right people on so that you can build a sustainable business. And that is so key. And I think that is the part that a lot of us, you know, kind of skip over. And I think more so than having all our paperwork in order and all those times, I think it's like, before you even get to that step, like, let's just take a beat and really figure out what kind of business we want to have, from, you know, who it's for, what it's for, what our purpose is. You know, are we going to have philanthropy added in? Are we going to be helping other people? You know, and then how do we build that model into our business so that it's sustainable for not only ourselves, but also for the people that we'd like to help? Because a lot of people will, you know, lower their prices because they say they want their stuff to be affordable. And it's like, but guess what? You can't, in order to help people, realistically, you need money. So price things at what the value for those things are worth, and what that is varies from person to person. So it's just, it's a lot to consider, but it is well worth laying that solid foundation from which to build your business. And, you know, and I can hear somebody now like, but there are businesses who didn't do all of that and they still succeeded. And it's like, yes, but those people, you know, let's stop treating exceptions as the rule, because some people do just get lucky, or they have the right connections, or they have large sums of money to be able to make up that deficit. But if that is not where you are, that you just wake up on a bed of money in the morning, then we have to be strategic and we have to be smart about our businesses and what we're doing, and really take the time, especially these days, because there are so many new businesses and so many entrepreneurs, and the field just keeps getting more and more crowded every day. And how do we overcome that? And a lot of that, it goes back to your branding and your marketing and the ways in which you do that. And like you said, there's a lot of ways to do that. There's the traditional ways, and there's like the new school, you know, online ways to do that. But however you're going to do that, it's a matter of just sitting down and figuring out what's going to work for you and for your business and where you all want to go. And some people are happy being, you know, the local superstar. That works for them. And then some other people are like, you know what? Nope. I'm going worldwide. I want everybody to know about this business or this service or this product. And it's like, okay, we need to plan for that and scale for that. So, yeah. So that's where we are. So let's see, what else can we talk about? Yes, millennials, I think, definitely have a wonderful advantage, because if we all had that and we knew the options that were available to us because of this global community that we live in and this information age, with all this information, like, you have so, there were so many different choices I would have made if I had known what I currently know now because of the internet. And like Alex was saying, she built her company, and her being in college, yes, it's going to be a nice to have, but to do what she did, that was all kind of, you know, OJT, on the job training, and getting out there and doing. And I encourage anybody that's listening, you know, if you are fearful, if you are scared, you know, about starting a business and you think you can't do it, this young lady started a business at 19 years old. And she said she just started doing PR and public relations and marketing a year ago. And she has now worked with, you know, Ciroc Houston, Offset, New York Fashion Week, you know, big names like that, making those connections and making it happen. And she said she didn't have two nickels to rub together, but she was determined, and she did not let the naysayers and other people deter her from the things that she wanted. And she made those sacrifices and she got it done. And I think that is very admirable. And that is one thing that I have been actually following Alex on social media the last year or so, and I've seen her growth and her going through this transformation and that change of just really stepping into who she is and owning that. So whatever is, you know, hanging over your head right now that could be thought of as a flaw, just embrace that and own it and use that to your advantage. And to bring up something else, so this, that leads me into A Wrinkle in Time, which I did go and see the other day, and that was one of the messages. The entire movie, Meg is hearing about her flaws. Her flaws. Her flaws are getting her in trouble, all these things, and her flaws ended up being the thing that actually propelled her forward and saved not only herself, but her brother and the rest of her family and the world, you know, to keep the evil things at bay. But she was successful in that. And our flaws, you know, we get so caught up, even as business owners. Those are the things that will tank your business if we let those negative voices constantly, you know, if we absorb those things and take those things personally and allow them to seep into what we're doing instead of keeping our eyes on the prize and just pushing forward. And just being, you know, whatever that flaw is, own it. That's part of who you are. I like to always say, you know, we are perfectly imperfect. And that's okay. Because everybody has flaws. It's part of our DNA. It's who we are as people. It comes with the package. So just own that. If there are areas that you know that you've been shying away from in your business, because it's not your strong suit, then you need to either, there's a choice you got to make. Either you're going to outsource that part of your business, or you're just going to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to suck this up and I'm going to learn how to do that. And that may be a weakness for me, but I'm going to make that a strength. And I'm going to bring that up to the level that everything else in my business is. So, and on a personal note, I know for me, sometimes being organized, because I'm juggling so many things, I have made it my business for 2018 to have a calendar set out for the entire year, or at least do it in 3 month chunks to where I can just plan different things out. If there are things I can plan in 2 week increments, like my social media, then I'm going to do that. If I can plan it for the whole month, even better. If there are things you can plan quarterly, you know, just figure out how to get things done. You know, it's like, and sometimes we have to reverse engineer that. Look at the whole big plan and then break it down into smaller pieces, because some of us get overwhelmed when we look at this laundry list of things that we need to do for our business. And then start making decisions. What part of this can you afford to outsource to someone else who that's their passion? And as Alex alluded to, if you know social media is not your passion, then hire a social media manager. See if there's an intern that is trying to build up their list that will work with you and do it that way. See if, you know, if there are, you need help with your branding and you're not sure where to start. There are plenty of people online that's exactly what they do. You know, get a business coach, get some help. There is no harm in that. And we have to stop being afraid that people are going to take our ideas and things like that, because we have this fabulous idea. Everybody has a fabulous idea. And even if someone were to implement an idea that's similar to yours, they're still not you. And they cannot do what you're going to do with it, because that vision was given to you and you alone and not them. So that is definitely, you know, something to keep in mind. So we have about 5 minutes here. And Alex just sent me a message. She said her phone died. She is so sorry. But we enjoyed having her on. So maybe we'll invite Alex back at a later date and talk with her some more, especially when she gets done with school and she's not on vacation. So I definitely understand that, for the need for downtime, because self-care in this whole thing is key as well. Because we cannot all just, you know, keep running and doing and not taking care of ourselves, because people are dropping left and right from stress, heart attacks, not eating well. So it's like, you know, this is the only body we have and we have to take care of it, because if we are not all together, then we cannot go out here and implement our vision and our dreams and manifest all these wonderful things and share our gifts and our services and our value with the world if we don't have those things in check. So that is, you know, that's pretty much. So we got about 5 minutes, and I think I have talked y'all enough this evening. And so I thank you for tuning in and listening to me this evening. So I hope that someone, you know, got something out of this, and we can definitely thank you, Otis L. Griffin. I'm glad that you said the show was informative, so I appreciate that. And join us next Thursday. We will be back 5, 7, and 8 Eastern time. So that's 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 Central, and 8 Eastern. And thank you. We are out. Good night, family.